Welcome back to the podcast, Offsides College Football Top 25, with John, Calhoun, and Michael.
Hey, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Offsides College Football's Top 25 Plus 5 with your host, John. And, of course, Calhoun is out tonight. He is sick, but I will fill in for his spot. Usually, I'm just comedy relief. However, I'm going to try real hard to be real serious. Probably won't work, but oh well. Anyway, we are going to get into it. We've got so much to talk about. I'm going to hand it right on over to John. And John, I want you to go ahead.
You want to start from number 50 or number one?
It's up to you.
Oh. This is the portal from our number 50 to our number one. And number 50, University of Ohio. Their coach was in the first year. He was 9-4. And they give 22% of their revenue to NIL.
Which probably isn't a huge revenue, but it's a good one.
It's at least something for the group five people.
Yep. I like it. They continue, you know, the Bobcats continually have a pretty good team. You know, they've been pretty consistent. Are they strong against the big boys? No. But in their conference and other areas, they play consistently well, and they're pretty strong. So they got a little cash to work with, and I believe they can bring in the talent with them and do well.
So the first one on their NIL portal, their running back, 20% of their carries, he's gone.
Well, they're not going to do as well.
I don't know who they're recruiting or who they are trying to get out of the NIL, but Dunyan Bruni, he's done. He's had enough. I don't know. 20% of their offense goes through him. It no longer goes through him. So I would bet he's trying to get a transfer, not even a transfer, seeing if he can get some NIL money and get into a group four team. But there's no hint of where he wants to go. Just down the street is Ohio State. But I think they're full at running back.
Oh yeah, they're full, loaded. I mean yeah. I mean, it's just not going to happen.
Chase Hendricks, he's a wide receiver, junior. 35% of their passes went to him last year. And he is looking for something else. And there's no reason for the transfer given. It's just like you're here or you're gone. Are you available?
So well, if the running back books, and he's almost 22%, and he's like 25%, he's got to figure, okay, now he's gone. I ain't hanging around. And both of them just said, I quit. Yeah. And they're gone.
And that's what you're seeing from the group five schools is either they're used and they're really good and they leave, or they're not used at all and they want to know why.
Yep. I could see that.
So the third guy is a backup starter for the wide receiver. 10% of the targets go to him. So the first three players, 65% of their offense, bye-bye.
Next one.
And who's left on their NIL? Nick Segura. He's a freshman. He had less than 5% target. It's like, okay, were you mad that you didn't get targeted at that, or you don't think they use you right, or you're just looking for something else? And the next three guys are on the defense. A linebacker had 25 tackles, or he had 25 or less tackles. Nehemiah Dukes had less than 20 tackles, and Jay Crable, he's a sophomore, had less than 15 tackles. So you had three players with 45 tackles or less, and they're gone.
So basically, they're down to the bare cupboard.
Yeah, you're, and that was a first year coach, Hauser. He was 9-4. So you don't know if he was trying to get better players or he was just cleaning house.
Yeah, but you don't take the frying pan and beat yourself on the head.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, and expect to get cooking like next season when you don't have no one. So it'll be interesting to see what the Bobcats do this year. And
you just hope they have transfers in and they recruit well. But you know, like I say, when you got Ohio State that's 50 miles down the road, it's rough to get players.
Yeah. But you could get the leftovers. I mean, my thing is this. Who wants ground chuck when you can have prime rib? And, you know, so it's kind of one of those deals, you know. All right, who do we got next on the list?
Number 49, Fresno State. They were 9-4 also. 22% of their income goes to NIL. And their portal, number one wide receiver, Josiah Aon, he's a senior. He didn't play.
He didn't play?
He didn't play at all in 2025.
That seems like a waste.
And the next person in their lineup to leave, Tim Thomas, linebacker, junior. He had 8 tackles a game.
It's still working.
Yeah. So 8 times 13 is 94 tackles a year.
Yeah.
But he is done. He's done at Fresno State.
Wow.
Their next player, Jaden Davis Jr. He had 8 tackles for the whole year. He's a junior. He's gone.
Ouch.
So you're like going, you really didn't have any stats, and you're saying, are you pointing one finger out and three are pointing back at you? I don't know.
Next school.
Next, believe it or not, number 48, LSU.
Oh.
No, they are cleaning covered.
Folks, LSU has decided to go pirate.
And right now, they're all walking the plank of the portal.
They have 21 players that left the port through the portal.
21 players.
21.
I knew there was a lot. Last time I heard it was like 16. And I was thinking, oh my goodness. Yeah. You know, how are you going to row the boat if the whole crew's gone? Who's going to man the oars? You know?
So they graduated a quarterback, Michael Van Buren II, his sophomore backup starter. He's gone. Colin Hurley, freshman, third string backup quarterback, gone.
Wow. But I have to believe Lane Kiffin, one way or another, will get them back on track in a couple of years.
They say he's the king of NIL.
Well, he just lies better than most.
If he had 21 lead, he better have 21 lined up already.
Yeah, he's a good coach. I mean, if you look at what he's done with Ole Miss, I mean, that's pretty impressive.
And what's crazy is you would think that the younger players would be interested in playing at LSU. They are hightailing out of there. They had a running back and four wide receivers, true freshmen, leave.
Wow.
I guess that, they're not going to play the cut game.
That's crazy. I mean, that's absolutely crazy, you know? I mean, they're not going to be – and I think they have them ranked in the top 25 for this next year.
Yeah, so we haven't done our top 25 for 2026, but we're getting close. They finished 48th in 2025. And they lost – five from the offensive line, one transfer to Kentucky, one defensive lineman, two linebackers, and two defensive backs. All of them had all totaled one tackle for the year. Mm. They're gone. And the last player that entered is Aaron Burrell. It's their kicker. He had zero tries in 2025.
Kickers seem to be a problem this year for a lot of teams. And they were for a lot of teams this year. Thank you. So I've never seen such problems. And if you lose a kicker that's even halfway decent, it's going to hurt you. They have to reload from top to bottom. I mean, that's cleaning house. That's got to be the high-end house cleaning, John.
No, they are not. Guess who's next? Number 47, Memphis.
Memphis. They have
38 players in the portal.
38?
38.
Holy smokes.
So, Arrington Maiden, their freshman quarterback.
Gone.
Their two running backs, sophomore and freshman, and they had 32 attempts. They're gone. Two wide receivers, one transferred to Arkansas, and they lost. Or they're going to lose 8 players that are playing offensive line. And on defense, they had 7 graduates and 5 more that went to the portal.
Wow.
So
that's crazy.
Yeah. And Memphis had 5 defensive backs graduate. And they put 4 more into the portal.
And Memphis is another team that has been consistently, I mean, the Tigers are tough, yeah. And they consistently have, you know, double digit, you know, 9-3 or, you know, 10-2 seasons.
So, and I don't know if in 2026, they have a new coach. Huff, You know, so you're right, Colin. Did the new coach just say, did he run all the talent off? I don't know.
Well, isn't that kind of what Cignetti did from one team?
That's true.
You know, I mean, he practically brought the whole team.
James Madison, you know, still played good.
So sometimes these guys can pull recruits, you know, from where they were and talk them into going. You know, I have that concern, you know, with the few teams doing that. I figured Lane Kiffin would do it, but he had such a – it was an awkward time for him to leave, but I know he didn't have a choice. He had to either take the deal then or not. If I'm correct,
I think he could have waited.
You think he could have waited?
Yeah, I think so. So he's probably in the top five coaches in the
college.
But he doesn't stay long at schools. He was at Tennessee. He was at UCLA. He was at Ole Miss, and now LSU. So four coaches and. Four teams in 10 years, I think.
Yeah. Well, like, yeah. Tennessee was just it was like not even a stopping point really for him. I don't think he even coached a game there, did he?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think he even coached a game there. You know? They didn't seem like they wanted him. He didn't want them. The board did, but then he bailed right away, I think. And the question is, had he stayed, would they have beaten Miami?
Miami was what? A half a dozen plays from win or lose?
Oh, absolutely. And they were still criminalistic on defense. I mean, I've never seen a team get away with so many holding calls and blatant pass interferences than watching the game.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just that game. It was multiple games during the year, holding the jerseys and shirts of, you know, the receivers of other teams, the offensive line just, well, tackling, you know, the linemen on the defense. I mean, it was like, oh, my God.
When you play in a bowl game and a – different conference is going to be the referees. You're going to see things a lot different.
Yeah. Well, it's part of the game. And I mean, what they call, what they don't call. And I get it. They want these kids to play. I get it. Let them play it out. But it just seemed like an abundance to me. I mean, there were some pretty blatant ones that they got away with. And I'm thinking, Where the refs? Where they at? You know, they're like Magoo. They, you know, they didn't see nothing. Mr. Magoo had 20/20 vision compared to those refs in some of those games. Well, not all of them, but in some of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And I think a lot of teams got away with different things. Horrible play calls, and you couldn't review them. And that's the problem. When you can't review it like that, I mean, but I know that you can't review them all, or the games will take 4 hours, 5 hours.
Yeah.
So I get that too. But it was kind of a political mess this year.
And I think it will be a little bit better, but I think the NIL is good for the Group 5 teams moving up, but I don't think it's good for the movement between the top four conferences.
It is and it isn't. I mean, it's definitely leveled the field, but it's a me, 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 me type mentality now. And, you know, you want to see a team that isn't built just off of the NIL, but off of young kids coming out of, you know, high school, developing them and moving on from there. It's, you know, I have questions when they do stuff. It's some of it is like, it's more geared pro than it is geared college. I mean, there's got to be some kind of like cap or something on it. You know what I'm saying?
So in the off season, Ohio State and Texas Tech, both of them have exceeded $60 million in their NIL funds.
It's a lot of cash.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of cash. That's almost
the Jets payroll.
You always get me right when I'm drinking the coffee. It may be the Jets.
So number 46 is even more South Florida.
Yeah, the Bulls. Holy smokes. They abandoned ship
players in the NIL portal.
Yeah, that ship went down quick, didn't it?
As soon as they said, bye.
Yep. That was it. That was it. And will Hartline be successful there?
Maybe in time, but not in 2026. So they had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9 players transfer, they transferred to Auburn.
Wow. Well, and there's a perfect example. They went from P5 up to P4, and, you know, so they upgraded up the ladder to get a little cash. Now, I don't know what Auburn's fiscal NIL is, but I got to figure it's pretty good.
Yeah, Auburn is 22% of the revenue.
Yeah, so
who is not capping it is Vanderbilt, Ohio State, LSU, Texas Tech. You know, eventually it's going to be the top 10.
Yeah, they're not going to feel the pinch like everybody else. There's no question, you know.
And if Ohio State is giving out 22% of the revenue, that means they're making $120 million a year on the sports.
Oh, absolutely. I think they're bringing in way more than that. Matter of fact, I can look. Let's see what we can find out there. Let's see. $336.1 million in 2025. Largely driven by football, with ticket sales alone bringing in an extra $22.9 million compared to the previous year. It's the primary driver of revenue, which included $67 million in ticket sales in 24-25, helping the department recover from a $38 million deficit in 23-24, which is crazy because that's the year, you know, right before that they won the national championship. So the total athletic revenue is $336.1 million. I mean, that's pretty crazy.
So they got roughly $90 million to spend. So they're $30 million
Yeah, and they get, listen, they're making $50 million in media rights coming from football in previous years. So tickets reach roughly $67 million 24-25. The profitability after a $38 million deficit in the fiscal year of 24 returned to a surplus in 25 of $15.7 million.
Yeah. And you know why it was a deficit? They're paying off Urban Meyer's contract.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know how these schools are doing it, paying out these coaches. I mean, when you look at Penn State, when, you know, they're going to have to give the man.
Was pretty smart. They dealt with Virginia Tech. And they split Franklin's
payroll.
Well, he was owed for the next 5 years or whatever.
Yeah, it was smart. Well, you got to figure Lane Kiffin didn't cheap either. You know?
Yeah.
That had to cost a pretty penny.
What LSU's AD said, the money's endless there. He goes, we expect to be in the top 10 because the money's endless.
Monopoly money. I mean, you know, Monopoly money. Who's next?
Number 45, Pittsburgh. And this is where you start seeing the players sticking with the coaches. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. They have 10 players in the portal.
Wow.
And Narducci's probably been there 10 years.
Yeah, I think so.
So, you know, that's a lot of tenure for an average college coach now. You don't see the Bobby Bowdens and the Paternos and.
Yeah, you don't see them anymore.
The only one that's left is Ferentz at Iowa.
And I'm not sure how long he'll stay.
He's already been there like 25 years, so not longer. Not much longer.
Yeah, you know, he'll retire eventually. And he's listed as one of the winningest coaches.
He's also one of the most losing coaches, too.
Yeah.
So Pitt not only used the NIL, only 10 players left. They had one transferred to LSU, one transferred to Texas Tech, one to Vanderbilt. The rest are in the portal. So they're only giving up really 7 players because 3 of them are transfers.
Wow. Next up.
Number 44. Old Dominion.
And they've been a pretty consistent team.
Well, their coach has been there for 6 years, but he's 30-37. But this is the first year they finished on the plus side of 50-50. They were 10-3. Right.
So yeah, they go through it about every 4 years.
What's crazy is Old Dominion transfer to Wisconsin, transfer to Maryland, transfer to LSU, and then they had the other 6 players in the portal. Ja'Cory Thomas, receiver, junior, played 12 games. Jackson Forrest, true freshman, linebacker, played 12 games. Zion Frank, defensive back, sophomore, played 13 games. So it's not like that are leaving because they weren't playing. It's like they were building the resume.
Yeah, like I said, upgrading. Doing the upgrade.
And next up, was like, no, you can go.
Yeah. Next up,
43, Wake Forest. So Dick, their coach, is in their first year. He was 9-4. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 9 players in the portal. 1, 2, 3. 3 of them did not play a game. 2 of them played 4 games. 1 played 8 games, the backup quarterback. And they had a defensive back freshman that played 1 game.
Yeah, I call that being forced out, or you know what I'm saying? Semi-cleaning house.
But it's funny, it's like you can play a little or you can play or nothing, and you decide.
Yeah. And of course, they want to, you know, that's one thing. They want to make the money, but they want to play too. The kids want to play. So
Wake Forest, their junior quarterback and their junior running back and their sophomore running back played 1 game. They had 1 rushing attempt. Both of them are gone.
Wow. And those are the schools that are having the hardest to get good kids in, you know, but Wake Forest can do a lot with nothing.
Yeah. They're 9-4.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And, you know, but they're in the ACC, so they can afford that to some degree. But, you know, it's – I know Miami likes to think they're back. We'll see.
Yeah. So, number 42, Hawaii. Another school that was 9-4. Their coach is 15-17 in 3 years. They only have 7 players in the portal. And one of them played a junior wide receiver played 12 games.
Wow.
The rest of them hardly played at all. And they really didn't have any stats. They weren't targeted a lot. Makes you wonder.
It does make you wonder.
And their backup and their third string quarterbacks are gone. Luke Weaver and Demarius Davis. So their big thing is replacing their quarterbacks and their wide receivers. Everyone else is staying.
You know, and for a school like Hawaii, I mean, it's Hawaii, you know.
I mean, you're going to go to college in Hawaii?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. It seems pretty pleasurable to me, you know.
You can either get hit on the field or you get hit by a coconut.
Yeah. Oh, next up.
Number 14, Washington. Your coach is in his second year. He's 13-9 there. And believe it or not, they only have 2 players in the portal.
They were pretty good this year.
I mean, they were quarterback and an offensive redshirt freshman. That's it.
Yeah, but I mean, they weren't bad. They were pretty strong this year. Got a bowl game, went to the bowl game, won that. You know, I think they're showing a lot of promise for next year. So
what they have to replace is so they graduated their quarterback, their junior quarterback played in 13 games, would be the starter. He's gone.
I believe they're going to get somebody.
You got to wonder, like, how are you going to go from working your way up the ranks to the heir apparent, and then you go, no, I'm ready. I'm gone.
See, I think they should have gobbled up Ohio State's quarterback, Kleinholz, you know?
I don't know where Holtz is going, but I know he's not there anymore.
ACC. I believe he went to the ACC.
Yeah, I don't have a mark, but I just know he's gone.
So, and I think he's going to do just fine, you know? All right, let's close that one out and go back. No, he went to Louisville. ACC.
3 hours down the road.
Yeah, to the Cardinals. Yeah, so he's headed to Louisville. I think it'll be fun to watch him this year. But then again, last year we thought Louisville was on a roll, and then they stunk it up.
They get in our top 25 and get to number 20 and lose. And fall back down.
That was like with that Clemson game. You win it. No, you win it. You know, we don't want to win it. We want you to win it. That was almost just embarrassing the whole way, especially in the fourth quarter. Let's see who wants to lose it more. Here, hold my beer. You know? Next up.
Number 40, Western Kentucky. Their coach is Helton. 55 wins, 33 losses in 8 years. And they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players in the portal.
Ah, the Hilltoppers. Yeah.
So they have a junior wide receiver that played 13 games, but he had one touchdown, and he averaged 6 yards per play.
Wow.
And their tight end, he played 11 games. He averaged 10 yards of reception. He's gone.
That's a good chunk of offense.
Yeah, every time you catch the ball, first down.
Yeah.
It's like, keep going to him.
Yeah, you're consistent.
Yeah. But you have to wonder why these players that play a lot of games and have a lot of success, and they go, they must be really confident on their own play.
I'm telling you, it's trying to upgrade, get the cash, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And move on. And, you know, they could get the playing time. They believe they could compete. But, you know, I mean, they've got to take a chance. They got to take a chance. I mean, Kleinholz is a perfect example. And mark my words, when you look at Ohio State, you have Julian saying, and you said it last year, you know, and I said it, you know, to some degree, but I was hoping that you were wrong. But he's a little too small. He doesn't know when to run. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
One dimensional.
Yeah.
And when you had Will Howard there, he's a big boy. When he started trucking, you had a hard time bringing him down.
Howard weighed 40 more pounds than Sand. So he could do a quarterback sneak or something on the goal line.
Yeah.
Sand had to rely on his passing, his arm.
And that's what I mean. So when you get somebody like, you know, Kleinholz, who was good at running, he was bigger, he threw pretty much really accurate, maybe not as accurate, but of course he's going to leave. And I think he's going to do some great things with Louisville.
What he doesn't realize is he had world-class receivers.
Yeah, that's true. But he wants to play. And I think that he's more interested in that. You know what I'm saying? And he'll get a little cash. I mean, think about it. The poor kid, the only games I think he really played in, unless the score was really run up, was against Missouri when the whole team bailed in the transfer portal.
Yeah.
You know? Everybody set sail. So, yeah, these kids want to play, you know?
Yeah, they're not going to sit there and do two-a-days and practice and then watch.
Yeah, who wants to do that? That's not fun. So next on the list.
Number 39, Clemson.
That's surprising now.
That, well, that was 2025, number 39. Sweeney is 185 with 52 losses in 17 years.
Has he been there that long?
Yep.
Wow.
And they have seven players in the portal. Tight end Josh Sapp played 13 games. He had 19 targets and 13 receptions. And the rest of them played 4, 5, or 7 games. But not a lot of stats. But at least they got in.
Yeah.
You see a lot of these people that are players that are in the portal, and it's like, did not play in 2025, did not play.
Well, I believe the quarterback is gone. Kublik.
Yeah.
Klubnik. He's gone.
And so he graduated. All of their quarterbacks stayed. None of them went to the portal.
Well, yeah, the senior left. He's gone. So with him gone, it opens the door and, you know, next guy up. But, you know, ever since, you know, the kid before Klubnik, what was his name again? He wasn't good.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't either. See? point made. But, you know, they've had a few good quarterbacks there and consistently in the top five or playing for the national championship. And it just, you know, they didn't take the money. Mm-hmm. They don't do the NIL. How do you expect to compete against other teams if you're not going to do that?
Well, you saw what happened at Oklahoma State. If Sweeney doesn't change and at Clemson, the same thing will happen.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I was surprised it didn't happen when he was like, listen, if you're tired of winning, you know, get rid of me. I'll go somewhere else. And I was thinking, dude, you aren't winning. You're getting crushed. So I was surprised they kept him then. But somehow or another, he eked it out to get back into a bowl game. That was a miracle.
Did they win their bowl game?
I can't think of who they played. I want to say yes. Mm-mm. All right, we're at
38 Houston.
All right, hold the thought on Houston because I've got to get off here in about 3 minutes.
Okay.
But let's talk about Indiana, Miami. What did you think?
I nailed that game. I enjoyed it because it went back and forth and it wasn't a blowout. But I nailed that game mathematically. I missed the points, the score by 4 points. I got the rushing yards of both teams correct. I got Indiana's right on those, and I got Miami's off by 12 yards. I'm like, I could not have dreamed a better
scenario. It worked out good. You know, I knew it. I said Indiana was going to be the first team in the expansion to go undefeated, which is going to be a hard thing to do. Cignetti's going to look like an ace. He's going to get recruits. It's the first time they've won a national championship. They ran through the top 10. They did great.
With Mendoza
for 2 years.
With Mendoza graduating, his brother transferred to Georgia Tech, and Indiana's new quarterback is Kansas State's Josh Hoover.
I don't know much about him.
He was in our preseason Heisman favorites, but he just faded away.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, it didn't pan out for him. Well, it might there in Indiana.
Well, you can see it when Mendoza left. You did not look good for the next quarterback because you know Cignetti was looking for a national threat. That was, a junior or going to be a senior. But he wasn't going to rely on the third year buildup.
Right. Well, it should be interesting. We'll work from number 38 down next week. Hopefully, Kalen is back with us. He has not been feeling well. So hopefully he's back. And John, and thank you. Thank you, sir.
And the next teams go rather quickly because there isn't a lot of players in the world. All sides, top 25.
Perfect. Well, John, thank you, sir. It's good to see you again.
Yep.
And yeah, and guys, we're going to be on here. You know, we're doing this throughout the year. We got a lot to talk about. Every team building up, seeing how the spring practices go. You know, I'm going to kind of follow John's lead and, you know, look at all this stuff because he does all the analytics on there. And I'm going to tell you, there's nobody better. So we're going to look at all that. And then I'm going to make fun of who I need to make fun of. Whoever the most deserving is. Anyway, thanks for tuning in with us on Trim Radio's Offsides College Football's Top 25 Plus 5 with your host John and Kalen, and then me, the troublemaker. Anyway, okay. I hope you guys have a great week. John, I'll see you next week.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Bye.
Bye-bye.